Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Ethiopian Adoptees Unapologetically Unfiltered. Thank you so much for joining me. This interview, we have a very special guest, and I say special, I might be a little bit biased, but it's my brother, Fikadu O'Connor. He really takes the time out of his busy, you know, college schedule of seeing friends and, you know, taking a break to sit down and have a quick conversation with me about just some of his experiences. This was planned, but not planned on the day that we did it. So it's a little less formal, a little less, not that any of them are really formal, but it might seem a little more rushed. So I appreciate the time that he took. I don't want to talk too much about it, so we'll get right into our quick holiday conversation. Yes, here is the interview with Fikadu. Hello, everyone. And today I'm here with a very special guest, someone very near and dear to me. It is my brother, Fikadu O'Connor. Hi, Fikadu.
Hello.
Okay, so I have some questions here for you. You know, just answer them to the best of your ability and whatever you want to say. Okay, so the first question, Fikadu, is where were you adopted and in what year?
So I was adopted in 2008 from Wide Horizons from Ethiopia.
Okay, perfect. And what was your experience as an Ethiopian adoptee when you were younger and like in the grammar school?
So I was much younger, so I wasn't really like as insecure. I noticed like much of a difference with me and my friends. We were always just like close, buddy, and I really didn't have like too much of a care in the world. Just friends with everybody.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you found that like changed as you got older?
Yeah, as I got older, I started to like notice the difference. Kind of like start to notice like my parents are different than everybody. And then that I'm different from my parents. And then how like we don't look alike.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And do you remember some of the comments that people might make that you're like, oh?
It wasn't so much like friends. It'd probably honestly be like younger kids would notice it, and then I'd be like, yeah, I'd like notice it, but like my friends were usually like pretty cool. They like realized they wouldn't like ask questions.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so I know you played sports and you were pretty active all throughout your childhood. What was your experience like in that space, you know, sports?
I've always been like very competitive in my sports. I've been a hard worker, and I think my coaches have noticed it. But like, other than that, I just like love doing sports, and like haven't really noticed like anything like out of the ordinary besides like basketball, actually, where like my middle school coach, he was very odd. Like, you could tell, like, we were the only two black kids, and, like, he, like, treated us, like, a little differently. He's more harsh with us, but other than that, all my other coaches were great.
Yeah, I think that is something very similar that Fikadu speaks on it, and I think as you all listen on, you'll see, especially amongst, you know, Ethiopian adoptees in general as being, you know, black bodies, but especially also as boys, young boys, you know, that sort of is thrusted on you and you can't really do much in it. And I think like Fikadu says that he's like, it's pretty good, but you can feel it because it wasn't very obvious, right? Was it more like.
It wasn't too obvious, I would say. It was just like the little things you could notice.
Yeah. And how did that make you feel?
Like, it was, like, hard for me to notice, but then, like, once I realized it, I was like, oh, wow, like, it's real. Like, it was probably, like, my first experience, really, with it, but, like, I didn't take it, like, too hard.
Yeah.
That
was, like, your first, like, real, not real, but, like, your first understanding of, like, racism kind of head on.
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of were able to see, like, it doesn't make sense. you know, as you were just saying, you're a hard worker and you showed up. So, like, why would you be treated differently? Yeah, no, I definitely get you on that. What was your experience as an adoptee when making friends, you know, when you were younger, as you were growing up in high school?
So, again, I think I've had my friends for, like, a while, so they're very, like, loving and caring. So I didn't think it was, like, too hard for me to make friends, to be honest.
Okay. And I think I kind of forgot to ask this, although, you know, it's maybe a little too specific, but you're in your first year of college, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are you finding that transition? Have you noticed any differences, difficulties, making friends, adjusting to a new environment? Because, you know, now you're leaving a whole town and, like...
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely noticed the school that I go to is much more diverse than Winnicott. And not too hard to beat, but
yeah,
making friends, it's really started off slow, but then, like, just started talking to people on my floor, and it's like we connected, and just, yeah, we've been friends since now.
That's awesome. You said that Winnicott is very white. I've talked about our school being very white. Bahailu and Gideon also in the previous episodes talked about growing up in very white spaces and how that really confused their sense of identity as a Black person. Despite having really close friends that, you know, you cared about and you've kind of kept throughout the years, which I'll say, Fakadu, congratulations. I think you're one of the very few kids in the household that have, like, really had long-term friends from when you were really young. How have you found, like, that kind of aspect of Blackness and identity, like, shifting as you've gotten older?
I mean, like, in high school, I really didn't have any, like, other Black friends besides, like, family friends, because it was, like, I've just grown up with all my white friends, so I guess it was, like, I didn't really go out of my way to make any Black friends, but, like, in college, like, I try to now, like, cause it's just, like, part of me, it's my culture, like, I don't want to be, like, surrounded by just, like, white people all the time and just, like, have that mind. Just, like, need to be open-minded and now, like, realize for myself as I get older so I could be aware of, like, what's happening. So in college, I've joined some, like, clubs that are, like, mostly Black people to get myself, like, more aware.
And have you found those spaces to be helpful, like, just helpful to you about, like, your own experience and understanding it better?
Yeah, for sure, because they, like, go through the same thing. Like, Bentley is still a predominantly white school, but, like, so, like, this, like, group, it's called Mankind Moon. It's just, like, all the Black people come together, like, talk about, like, these issues and problems, and which is, like, it's relatable because, like, we all go through it, which is pretty cool. It's good to connect with people.
Do you wish, if something like that had been offered to you in high school, do you think you would have joined it?
To be honest, I probably would not have because I was probably just, like, too, like, I was just in my own world. Like, I just, like, cared about, like, what I did with my friends. I wasn't very, like, open-minded to trying new things and learning about myself more.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And again, I think I know Bahailu and Gideon also spoke to it. I have as well in previous episodes. I definitely had, whether it was mom, Fakadu saying to us, like, you should go to therapy, you should do this. And I was kind of like, it's not going to help me right now. So I think if I saw a Black club, I'd be like, that's going to make me stick out even more. I have all these white friends that they can't be a part of the Black club. Like, it makes sense why you wouldn't have done it. But it's awesome that you've, like, gone out of your way to, like, make that a thing at Bentley. So next question. What was it like growing up in a big family? We have a giant family. And with other adoptees that you now consider to be siblings.
I mean, like, growing up with a big family when you're not younger is always, like, always great because you always have a friend.
Mm.
But, like, when you get older, you, like, start to, like, become more distant from siblings. And then just because you, like, have differences, like, in high school. But having a big family is, like, it's great, but sometimes it's, like, it's, like, crazy at points, but...
Yeah.
For sure, but I enjoy it, for sure.
How is it having, like, adoptee siblings? Like, knowing that, you know, some you know, we know some families who, like, adopted, you know, somebody from Ethiopia, but they have just other white kids or their siblings, but you know what I mean? Do you think that has helped? Has done anything?
I mean, like, having adopted siblings really hasn't, like, changed the way I, like, look at them. Like, I just, like, they're still my siblings. Like,
yeah.
But, like, I guess you can relate to them a little more. for sure. Like, you can talk about, like, the little things, like, that, like, bother you in the everyday world, but other than that, that's, yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I totally agree with that. Okay. Next question. What's one thing about adoption you wish others understood? Or that's like, let me try to word it differently. Like, what's something that you've come across, you're like, wow, that's like a big misunderstanding or a big assumption, maybe?
It's a good question. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, take your time.
So, like, what I'd want other people to think of adoption. I feel like some people think with adoption that, like, their parents are, like, saving you, like, which, like, in a way, yes, at a small point, but it's, like, it's just, like, it's, I don't like, to look at it that way, for sure.
I totally agree.
They're not, like, really saving, I don't know. It's, like, I don't know how to put that.
Yeah, I think, no, you're absolutely right on, because I think, again, Gideon and Berhailu said very similar things, and a lot of it's, like, being grateful, like, oh my God, you know, they saved you from something terrible, but people don't understand is we all have family, we have siblings, we have parents, we have a culture, we have a language that we were forcibly taken from without our choice, right, without any choice in the matter, so you're saying that idea that is some, like, great thing that we need to be thankful for?
Yeah.
I think so far that seems to be the one thing that has definitely remained the same. Yeah, no, absolutely. when was your first time visiting Ethiopia?
I believe I was in fourth grade, and it was in November, because I remember my birthday was in Ethiopia, and you were with me, actually. And we visited my family. I think we visited your sister. And then we visited Muhammad's family. And then we... Actually, I remember going to, like, a mini safari thing.
Yeah.
Where there's, like, an ostrich and stuff, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was cool.
Do you remember when you first... Like, you were there, and you were kind of taking it and being like, oh, this is, like, quote-unquote, my country, right, where I was born. Did you have... any feelings about it? Do you even think about that experience ever?
I feel like I was just so young when I, like, fourth grade, you're like, you realize where you're at, but, like, I just felt like so, like, it was just like a, I feel like I'd have a different experience now than I would when I was younger, because I just didn't know how to, like, take it in when I was so young. Like, it was just like another trip to me. Like, seeing my parents were, like, pretty cool.
Yeah, like, what was that like?
Like, I didn't, like, when I saw them, I was like, wow, this is, like, my parents, but I didn't know how to, like, think much of them. Like, I don't really have, like, a close, like, connection, because I have been with, like, my adoptive parents my whole life. Yeah. So, I don't know what to think.
Yeah, you know what to think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that totally makes sense, because you're, like, and I think this is what I talk, when I talk about, the differences that we all experience, you know, like, Abnash and I's parents are dead, right? And so when we go back, we have, like, siblings, and, like, that's pretty cool. But I think to this day, if I were ever to meet my, like, biological parents who, like, look like me, they gave birth to you have your siblings that look like you, you know what I mean? And you were just talking about that, like, growing up and people pointing out those differences, but you see that it actually exists and doesn't have to be a problem, you know? It must be, like, some sort of, like, mind... altering sort of thing, yeah? Like, a little bit?
A little bit, yeah, but... yeah.
Yeah. Well. It's complicated. Yeah, definitely. None of this is, like, linear, has an answer, and as Bahailu said, he's like, this is just something that's forever changing, and one day you have an answer, next day you're like, actually, I don't even know, and that's totally just a part of it. Let me ask you, Fado, if you could go back to Ethiopia, like, now, in the next couple of years, would you go?
Yeah, for sure. It'd be a totally different experience from when I was in fourth grade, because I'd, like, probably, like, have, like, more of a realization why I'm here, and, like get a better understanding of, like, where I'm from, and, like, really be able to, like, enjoy that culture and everything.
Yeah. Do you think, not to ask you what questions you have, but do you think you have questions that you would like to be answered if you were to go back?
I don't have questions, but I feel like if I knew I was going back, I'd definitely, like, come up with questions.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. What was your... Oh, I already asked what your experience was like when you learned. My next question is, do you ever miss Ethiopia, your family, or your language, or your culture? Do you feel any sense of, like, loss there at any point in time?
So I, in a way, I do miss it, but, like, I guess the life that I have here is really just, like, so busy. Like, I guess if I wouldn't adopt it, I wouldn't have these opportunities that I have right now in my life, like, where I'm at in college. But, like, obviously, like, there's, like, I do miss, like, just, like getting to know my real parents and, like, family, because I have a bunch of siblings in Ethiopia. Like, it'd be cool to, like, know all of them, but... And that aspect I, like, miss, but right now, like, the life that I'm in, I have a lot of opportunities right now, and, like, I guess in a way, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. There's a lot you can do. Like you said, you're very busy, right? Yeah, very, busy. Very, 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 very busy. How do you feel about adoption now? Knowing, of course, that feelings can change and probably have throughout the years.
I still think, like, adoption is, like, at the end of the day, like, I don't
know. How does... It's hard.
Like, it is, like, a good thing, but, like, it's, like, if you're in the mind of the person being adopted, it's, like, it's like, sad because they're getting taken away from their family. But, again, like, their family had to, like... I guess, and would give you up because they wouldn't be able to take care of you, wouldn't be able to support you. So they're giving you, like, a different opportunity in life,
yeah.
Which is, like, sad in a way, but, like, the parents that are adopting you obviously love you and are going to take care of you, but it's just such a strange thing, strange concept.
I really like that. So now, guys, you've gotten the word messy from Bahailu, we've gotten strange from you, and I guess from Gideon we got, like, it's just, like, heart-wrenching, right? Because he has a very deep understanding of where his family's from. And do you think the complexity of adoption, like what you just described throughout our conversation, makes it even harder to answer any questions that people have about adoption? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess so, because there's just so many questions. Like, and like we were saying, it's such a complex thing that, like, it would be hard to answer, like, specific people's questions, because I guess the experience is different for everybody.
Mm.
And, like, what they're trying to, like, get out of it.
No, that totally makes sense. Just out of curiosity, right? Like, when you're younger and stuff like that, what questions are... I mean, I'm trying to think if I ever remember you telling me, like, what kind of questions you received from, like, adults and your teachers and your classmates. Not necessarily, I don't think they ever thought it wasn't meant in, like, a malicious way, but do you remember?
The only really questions I'd get was, like, where I'm from, and then, like, I feel like people would realize I was adopted, and that I guess it'd be, like, too awkward for them to ask that, so they'd, like, never really ask.
Mm.
So, like, they, like, just assumed. But, like, the only questions I got are, like, where from Ethiopia, and then, like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question. You know how, obviously our adopted parents are white, and we live, you know, in the, New Hampshire, the state of New Hampshire. Do you think, like, mom and dad's whiteness has played a role in our significant role in like the way we experience life or we've experienced life in our town as opposed to, like, the rest of the world?
I mean, I've definitely become accustomed to, like the culture here and, like the living here
yeah.
with mom and dad, because they've learned from their parents. It's just been, like, white upbringing, so that's what they, like, taught us in a way, but I feel like they've gotten, like, better at, like, like, teaching us about different cultures and, like, more about being, like, proud of who we are as Black person.
Mm.
So, in a way, that they've changed that way, so... It wouldn't be, like, just, like, the normal white family, for sure.
And what is it like? Because I've always actually really wondered this. What is it like as a black man now? Oh my God, you're not a little kid anymore. He has like a mustache now. What do you think it's like having black, having white parents? Like, you know what I mean? When you go to places, when you show up to stuff, you know, like how has that been for you? Like growing up, maybe it's changed now.
I'm used to it now, but like, it's like still awkward at first when you're just like meeting people and like kind of like explaining that you're adopted, but like everybody's like understanding for sure. So like, I really have gotten used to it.
Yeah, but something you know you have to explain.
Yeah, like usually, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, nobody will assume that they're my parents.
Yeah.
And then you just say it, and then they're like, all right.
Okay. Let me ask you another question. That's my last question, and then you, sir, are off the hook. I told them it would be, like, a five-minute thing and 20 minutes later. My final question is to young adoptees. Right, the young ones that are still there, even though like adoption no longer is a thing through Ethiopia, you can't adopt from Ethiopia anymore. There's still, you know, there's still young kids out there. What would you want to tell them, whether it be guys, adopted girls, it doesn't really matter.
I guess just be proud of who you are. Like the people like watching you or judging you, they're more insecure about themselves, and just like definitely be proud of where you're from. Because you don't want to lose that when you're older. That's like part of your identity of who you are. And I guess just to just keep building off that and really find, like, if you want to get to like know the parent, like your real parents, like try to find opportunities for that. And I don't know, just try to just be confident with yourself too. It's really hard because obviously everybody's lives are like different to you. You're probably like one out of, I don't know, like 1,000. You're like where you're from, so it's like you really just got to be true to yourself and not try to be these people around you, because they don't have like anywhere close of experience that you do.
And that very wise words from a college freshman, Fakadu. Thank you so much for coming on and talking. You're officially the youngest that has been on this podcast, and I really, really appreciate your time, bud.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I am so grateful to you, Fakadu, for taking the time and answering those tough questions. I prepared him for most of them, but for some of them, I did kind of spring on him last minute. So thank you, bud, for, you know, still answering them. And, you know, I think you have offered a kind of a different perspective, maybe from Gideon and Bahailu's perspective. That's, you know, there are parts of his childhood with his friends that were, you know, a little bit easier and that maybe didn't necessarily cause difficulties that it did in, you know, when I, like in my experience growing up in my town. But it's interesting to see that, you know, there are similarities. There's that, those moments, that being with him, for him being in middle school and on the basketball team, kind of seeing the microaggressions that came about and kind of feeling like, oh, wait, like that's not right. It's not adding up. Why am I getting treated this way? But I think it also speaks, it's really interesting how his experience, in some ways different than those who've spoken thus far, who where, you know, it was fine in high school and he had his friends and he was able to kind of maintain his friends from when he was younger up through high school. But then it was interesting, as he said, in college he's made that conscious effort to go ahead and make those black, or meet those other black students and having those connections, because as he said it, you know, they kind of understand the issues that come with being black, not the issues, but I guess it you know, your blackness is problematic, and they understand that that's how parts of society views, you know, our existence, simply existing and taking up space, which again, I really do relate to him a lot on that as well. Me going ahead and, you know, also making that conscious effort once I left my hometown when I was up in school in Canada, making those friends because I wanted them, and I think I was finally ready for them which I think is really important too, because he did answer that question so honestly when he said, oh no, like in high school, if I was offered those opportunities, I'm not sure that I would have taken it. And I agree with him wholeheartedly. I think for me, I also had to be kind of separated from my high school, from my area, from my town, and kind of given the opportunity to start new and fresh. And I don't know, I thought that was interesting, the similarities between the two of us. But besides that, like, I really do not want to get into it too much. I just want to, you know, leave what he says or what he said as is. But I do have some amazing stuff coming up. We have, I guess I'll give you a little hint, but I will be having some really two amazing individuals and voices for Ethiopian adoptees coming on and talking with us very soon about that process, about the adoptee experiences and what they've learned, you know, within their professional background, you know, analyzing the experiences of adoptees and understanding their experiences and why Ethiopian adoption in Ethiopia is no longer a thing. It's illegal. I guess, you know, you can't adopt from Ethiopia anymore, and why, you know, why that is. And truthfully, you know, all the advocacy that had to go into it, you know, it's interesting to understand the history of, you know, adoption in Ethiopia, how it started, why it started. It's interesting to see the number, the sheer number of adoptees, Ethiopian adoptees that are in the U.S. or just around the world, and the different years in which those adoptee numbers spiked, and why that is, and again, why it stopped, and that in itself is so tragic. But I'm so grateful to all those who, again, from my perspective, I'm very glad to all those who have taken that time, who've done all that advocacy and all that work and all the grunt work behind the scenes to kind of put a halt to it. And again, I think when you all get to hear who the two special guests will be coming up, I think it would be a great opportunity to really truly understand the foundational issues. Thank you all so much for taking the time to listen. For those of you who celebrated Christmas, Merry belated Christmas. For those of you that celebrate another holiday, the same goes out to you. And for those of you who don't celebrate, but who've been able to get a break or just are enjoying time with family, I hope that also has been great for all of you. And until next time, bye-bye.